regular podcast listeners will remember the conversation I had with the man with the Dickensian name, Ronan Hatful, who is writing his dissertation on contemporary interpretations of Shakespeare with an emphasis on the reduced Shakespeare company. Did I describe that correctly, Ronan?
You did indeed. In fact, there is a strong possibility that my emphasis will now not be an emphasis, but an exclusive focus on yourselves entirely, which I will shortly be divulging to my PhD supervisor. Well, I hope he's listening.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 505, Retracing Shakespeare's Steps. Ronan Hatful, whose PhD dissertation will focus on the work of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, visited Edinburgh this week with his parents to see some shows, so I took advantage of them being here to talk about a recent journey Ronan and his father took from Stratford to London.
Not only are you sort of excavating and retracing Shakespeare's works, not only are you retracing Shakespeare's works as interpreted by the Reduced Shakespeare Company, you are also retracing his steps, I understand. Do I have that correct?
You put that very well. Yeah, I wish we'd put that in the blurb. myself and the man who is at least half responsible for the reason I sit here, who is sitting next to us in a very sort of cramped cafe in the Pleasance in Edinburgh on a very wet, rainy day. Me and him, my father, David Hatful, who is a professional photographer, have recently commenced and finished an 146-mile charity walk from Shakespeare's birthplace in Stratford-upon-Avon to the Globe Theatre in London, raising funds for a Stratford-based charity called the Liz Ketterer's Trust, which was founded in 2011 after a PhD student called Liz Ketterer very sadly died and passed away after completing a doctorate. And basically they now put on plays and raise money in order that students from her university, which is the University of Texas, can come over to the Institute as part of the Shakespeare at Winnerdale program and enjoy and study. And we've raised over £500 so far from doing this, and I think I've said as much as I can say at the moment.
Well done. So I'll have to talk to your better half. The reason you're here, David Hatful. You were part of this lengthy excursion. Do you just like walking?
Yeah, I do like walking, and I always wanted to do something creative with Ronan. So the idea of his words and my images seemed to be a good idea, and I came across this article about this Shakespeare walk that had been created. That kind of it's probably not exactly the routine he took, because we think that probably half the route he took was along a highway, which is now a highway into London, and we kind of didn't fancy walking the hard shoulder and getting stopped by the police.
That's probably was very wise.
So we took a more spiritual kind of route that took us through the countryside and down through Oxford and then down onto the River Thames and through into London. It was an amazing experience.
That's fantastic. And was this a route you created or that exists?
It does exist. Okay. It does exist as an existing route. And I photographed the landscape, but we also photographed people we met, a bit like the kind of the Chaucer, and Ronan, and we talked to them, and we met some amazing people, including one couple who stopped. They stopped and asked us what we were doing, and then this lady just produced £20 out of her purse and said, please take this towards the fund, which is incredible. And in a time when there's a lot of unhappiness in the world, everybody we met was positive. But on the whole 146 miles, we didn't stop a single person who said no to being photographed.
Wow.
Every single person said, yeah, that's fine, with no questions asked as why or what,
And that's fantastic. Where will this image, this text and these images end up? Just not on more something more than Facebook, yeah?
Yeah, we haven't kind of made a decision on that. Okay. I must say, one of the slight quirks of it is that I decided to photograph it on film, on black and white film, not on digital. The kind of premise...
How very quaint.
Yeah, well, the kind of premise being, Austin, that although the camera didn't exist in Shakespeare's day, the camera obscura existed. So he may well have been aware of that kind of thing of looking at an image on a piece of glass. All I've done is taken that and I've used a camera like that. Yeah. So viewing the image back to front, upside down when I took the picture on film. So I've got a fridge full of film now that's all got to be processed and made into black and white prints. We did some digital as well, but so it's going to take a while. And then I don't know what we're going to. It would be nice to produce, even if we did it for ourselves, a book maybe of images and text.
Well, and I would think that this would inspire others to make the walk themselves and maybe raise a little money, but maybe just make the walk.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I know that people have done the walk. I know that it exists, so it's definitely been done before, but to the best of my knowledge, it's done as a charity thing. One of the things that we were talking about just today was that it could inspire even a piece of literature or a kind of a Chaucerian type play. The thing about the walk was that everyone was so nice that we met. We didn't have the most kind of hairy encounters we had were with irritating dogs. I think in order to create some kind of Chaucerian exciting narrative, you need to meet a few, you know, undesirables.
But we weren't robbed at knife point.
No, we weren't. But I imagine...
Did you spend the night in any brothels?
Well, he stopped me from that, doing that, unfortunately. Although we did imagine a scenario earlier today, which would be maybe we could transport ourselves back in time and Shakespeare could be doing the walk, and maybe we could create a fiction whereby he meets people who are a little like his characters along the way, and that could be a fun kind of nice show. So that might, and that kind of has the flavour of The Fringe to me, and we have talked about trying to find somewhere where we could exhibit the photographs with my creative poetry alongside it, maybe next year, maybe as part of a piece. So
it is interesting. We've talked about this on the walk, but you know, I couldn't find anything that anybody's written about that walking process that Shakespeare did. And of course, it's pretty certain he walked backwards and forwards. He didn't just go to London, do the plays, and then come home. You know, he did it several times.
Yeah.
And we worked it out that if he'd done that and other walks, he'd probably spent almost a year of his life at walking.
Yeah, you know? Right.
So it must have had an impact. He must have seen things and seen people and met people. And nobody's sort of addressed that at all, as far as we can see.
The closest I can think of is, well, not just Chaucer, of course, and that's the closest I've come to making this sort of pilgrimage. I made the pilgrimage from Oxford to Canterbury once, but in a bus. It took a couple of hours. It was no big deal. The only thing I can think of is the reports of Will Kemp, Morris dancing to London, but I don't know where he started.
My friends asked me about that, and I just kind of...
Norwich. From Norwich to London.
Well, that's a haul.
And of course, everybody walked in that day. I mean, there's stories that Ben Jonson walked, who was quite a big guy, apparently. Okay. He walked to Scotland and back, apparently. apparently.
My God. Well, good for him. That was
before the Fringe existed.
I was going to say. He got here and he said, oh, what there needs to be is a festival of theater. So how did it work just logistically? Like, how many miles a day did you cover?
I think the most we walked was 17 and the least we walked was 9. But I'd say it worked miles, yeah. But the most I'd say it worked out kind of on average was 14, 13. And the only time that was really unpleasant, I'd say, is the hottest day of the year when it was 35 degrees. But fortunately that day, my father decided, and I came round to being persuaded that we would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and walk it till 1 o'clock in the afternoon. But actually it was beautiful because we were in Oxford that day and we saw all the mist rolling in and all of that. By about even 11 o'clock, we were kind of saying, if we'd done this in the day, you know, it would have been actually dangerous.
Right.
That was a really great experience.
That was the most memorable day, Austin, because we at 12 o'clock, it was getting really hot, and we arrived in this village where we were finishing this day, and there before us, and we thought, is this a mirage? No, it really is a country pub. And as we got there, we tried the door. Oh, no, perhaps not, he's open at lunchtime.
Right.
And then at 2 minutes past 12, we heard the key unlock, and we were going... And we've never drunk a pint of beer so quickly.
No. It was like the breath of life.
Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and I'm on the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. I don't know what that means, but if it helps you to go and see them, because they're super, please do.
Where can you RSC the RSC? We'll be performing William Shakespeare's long-lost first play abridged at the Pleasance Courtyard at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival for two more weeks until August 29th. Then we return to the U.S. this fall, starting in September, to perform the special election edition of the Complete History of America abridged in more than 17 states, including Missouri, Iowa, Montana, Indiana, Minnesota, Utah, Michigan, Kentucky, Alaska, Washington, New Jersey, Ohio, Virginia, South Carolina, Vermont, New Hampshire, and Florida. Those dates are all up on our website now. We'll also be touring for 3 weeks in China, and in 2017 we'll begin a UK tour of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play Abridged. We'll have more information about those overseas tours later this fall. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to reducedshakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with Ronan Hatful and his father, David.
So on this epic journey, did you stay at Travelodges, or did you splurge and go to Premier Inns?
It took me off it because we wanted to try and do it as cheaply as possible because we were raising money. We didn't think we should be staying in five stars.
Yeah, that's
so,
probably it
took me months to piece it all together. But basically, we have a camper van. What we did is we would walk a section, then get public transport back, and then use the camper van to sleep overnight, and then move on the next day.
But
we were able to do it apart from the very last day where we didn't think it'd be very easy to sleep in a camper van in London.
Yes. So
we booked an Airbnb.
Okay,
well that's nothing unusual. But when we arrived, we discovered that the couple who owned this house were both professional actors. And there were so many coincidences like this along the walk.
Yeah.
So we had a long talk to them about acting and about Shakespeare, and it was just amazing. You know, who would guess? You know, you book an Airbnb, and these two people are both actors.
That's fantastic. Did you see anything along the trip that was Shakespearean? Did you think that this might have inspired him in some way?
There was a tree in a field, and it was interesting because we walked past it after we'd just seen a weather vane that was a witch on a broom, which I presume wasn't there when Shakespeare walked past it. But then we saw this amazing tree that kind of had. I wrote a poem about it. It's on me, but I'm not going to read it for you right now. It's a work in progress. And it was just these three kind of limbs of it, and almost it looked like bodies kind of reaching out of the earth. And it looked very much like the Weird Sisters in Macbeth. And you took a picture of it, and I'm sure that'll be kind of a big centerpiece. So that's. I think the thing is on things like this, often, like, because you're consciously walking, you're like, ooh, what's the Shakespeare here? Where can I find it? So obviously, there is, you know, you read stuff into the landscape, but at the same time, I'm sure that's what Shakespeare did when he walked past these things. I like to think, I mean, one day we met a really lovely farmer who was just taking his sheep out, and we talked to him about it, and he was called he was called George Osborne, and he kept making jokes about being, you know, the same name as the politician,
right.
and the way he was talking with and I just got this impression of him, you know, like the farmers in As You Like It,
yeah.
And it's this almost kind of jakewise, kind of like quite kind of begrudging, kind of like melancholy figure, but once you kind of cajoled him and got this out of him, he was actually incredibly lovely. And I got a lot of, because obviously you're walking the landscape, I got a lot of like Shakespeare and the pastoral.
Yeah.
There weren't too many blasted heats because it only rained on the first and last days, fortunately. So, and what I said to my dad at the start of the trip was that I didn't want it to end up like King Lear, with me like leading my father, with Edmund leading his blind father Gloucester to the clifftops of Dover. But fortunately, no blinding happened and we were all right.
All right, well done, well done. Well, are there any blasted heaths between Stratford and London?
No.
Are there any heaths at all?
Are there any heaths?
There was some heathland we passed.
Yeah.
We passed by.
Okay.
Near Burnham Beaches, I think, which is kind of an ancient woodland. Ancient woodland, which is quite interesting.
I would imagine. Yeah.
The eeriest thing we saw, which was absolutely beautiful, was the one. It was on like I think it was on the second day maybe. We walked past this massive lake, and there was this single black swan just floating around. And I tweeted about Natalie Portman, you know, being a bit of a douchebag. And but it was actually a really beautiful, beautiful sight. And just this swan, just kind of solitary, this beautiful black swan, just in this massive lake on its own. There was no other light creatures around it, and that was quite poetic. It just was quite cool.
There were other odd sort of Shakespearean coincidences happened. Like just north of Oxford, we passed this small a potter sort of workshop and studio.
Okay.
And so I thought I went in and I said to the guy's wife, "Oh, is the potter around? Could we make a photograph of him?" And so he came out. He was a bit bewildered to start with, but he agreed. And then he said, "Can you explain a bit more about what you're doing?" And I told him that. And he said, "Hang on a minute." And he hunted around the background and he brought out this small statue of Othello, which he happened to have because his son had acted and had been in Shakespeare, and he'd made this. I photographed him with this statue. So there were these kind of coincidences.
It's funny that just Shakespeare is just everywhere,
yeah,
in
absolutely.
Places you wouldn't expect.
Yeah.
And did any of this give you any insight into your dissertation, Ronan? Because that's what we're all most worried about.
I think so. I mean, obviously, I'm looking at Shakespeare like how he works now, and we were trying to imagine how Shakespeare was in his own time. But actually, I think it offered me perspective on what I do.
Yeah.
And certainly, thinking about what you guys do, and such a massive part of that being even though you're parodists and you're vaudevillians, and you have proved yourself a vaudevillian, as you say in the show, you are kind of conjuring the spirit of Shakespeare himself. And we've talked about this before on the previous podcast. So I think I was getting a kind of an idea of how Shakespeare adapted things himself from the landscape and stuff. So I think the big thing I took from it, rather than anything necessarily like hardcore hardcore kind of academic insight, and some of the best things about doing a PhD and the most productive things are where you're just looking out into the landscape and be like, oh yeah, rather than being stuck in a library,
yeah,
was a kind of a sort of a perspective, and a kind of a perspective on, I'm feeling like you were doing something Shakespeare was doing physically,
yeah.
I think nurtured me kind of mentally.
And we're here at the Fringe, as you mentioned, which is a return. You performed here, Ronan, right? Is that right?
I have, 5 times, but this is the first time I've been here, never performing, but it's actually really nice.
I'm fantasizing about doing that myself one day, coming here. But this is also a return for you, David. You stage managed here, if I'm reading a Facebook post correct.
Yeah, 41 years ago. I stage managed a show here when I was at college. It was written by a college lecturer called Brian Earnshaw, and it was called The Fury's Coming. And it was on a little... I took Ronan today to where it was on in a church hall.
Okay.
And I thought the Fringe was quite big then.
Well, and we're still only now the second weekend, approaching the second weekend, and it's massive. It's been massive since day one of the Fringe, and I've never seen it so busy. So well done for starting it 41 years ago. So clearly Ronan has a creative bent, but apparently he comes by it honestly through you.
Well, I don't know about
my mum and dad, or my mum is also to your right.
Look, there she is. Say hi, Mum.
Hello.
I've always grown up in a house where my mum and dad have run they're self-employed. So I think, and obviously being an aspiring academic, you are employed by somebody, but I think there's also a kind of a certain drive. You'll understand this as an artist.
Yeah.
I think you do have to be quite kind of strong-willed and know your own mind, and you are your own boss, essentially, because essentially being an academic, the only person really putting pressure on me is myself. Well, that's not quite true. Myself or my mother, or my supervisor. But on a day-to-day basis, the only person that can make me do what I need to do is myself. And I guess that's kind of what it's like with being self-employed in terms of business. So I've grown up in that, and that's definitely nurtured in me that drive.
And you lived in a house where there's always been talk about drama, about arts. We've always discussed that sort of thing.
Yeah. So he's not solely to blame for the wasted path he's chosen.
No, not at all.
Right, okay. This is what we're learning.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your fundraising journeys via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also engage with us and other fans on Facebook or Twitter. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, Morris dancer Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Jenny Wake. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Nicholas Parsons, who's returned for yet another amazing year at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 505 1515ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. So I guess the next time you and I will talk is when you're about to say, "Hey, it's about to be published, right? Your dissertation."
I hope that we'll speak before then, because
I meant for the podcast.
Yeah, for the podcast. Yeah, I think that's a few years off. I'd like to think of this as one and two of a trilogy, which means that the third part of the trilogy is inevitably going to be a little bit disappointing, because it's going to be my Return of the Jedi. It's going to be me kind of being like, "Oh well, I'm just doing this, I'm not quite." And then I'll come back with a bang with part four. In many years' time, it'll be my Force Awakens, where nobody will have seen where I'm coming from, and I'll suddenly reinvent myself, basically copy what I was doing in part one, and publish everything.
So. Well, at least you've got a plan, so that's good.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.